If you have Bible in hand, 1 Chronicles 5 will get us where we need to be to start. You're familiar with the hymn or the gospel song, He Giveth More Grace. How that line goes. It's the songwriter has it. When we have exhausted our store of resources or store of endurance, it is then that we must look to God and not man for our needs. And then that same little song goes on, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done. And the elect, the children of God, as we pointed out last Wednesday night, innate to their created being is that they cry out. They cry out. The elect cry out. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, there is at the beginning at the 18th verse through verse number 22, an interesting word, again, set in this same theme. War is the subject matter, according to what I read at the end of verse 18. Participants there in verse 19. Verse 20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle. They cried to God in the battle. And then the verse goes on to say, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. The word entreated is a divine response to the burning of incense. A divine response to the burning of incense itself is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of worship. It is a form of sacrifice, and the entreating has to do with God's direct intervention and his intercession into the battle. And essentially the cause is there stated in verse 20, because they put their trust in him. Then the verses go on, verse 21. And they took away their cattle, camels 50,000, sheep 250,000, and of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000. Verse 22. For there fell down many slain, because the war was of God, and they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. Until the captivity. So again, I just point out to you from the second verse that these people in pitch of battle cried, prayed, appealed to God for help, and he was entreated. And essentially, you can link the crying or the praying as a profound act of trust, like we've always been teaching. Prayer is a profound act of faith. And when prayer is made, and especially when you have exhausted your store of endurance or your resources, and you place your trust in the outcome in God's hands, he is always favorably impressed with that. I want you to look also in the book of Ezra, the 8th chapter. There is a clear-cut reference to this. Basically, when you commend God for his attributes in the secular community, like when you ascribe some noteworthy ability of God in the secular community, you better be prepared to live by that declaration. It can't ever be put out there as a form of theory. Whenever you say, well, you know, my God can do this and my God has done that, you better be prepared to live by that declaration, just like Ezra was here. In verse number 21, going to be a journey home. And verse 21 says, I proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Then verse 22, he said, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Now you say, well, that's a prudent resource. When you are vulnerable and you have between your starting point and the destination pockmarked with potential enemies, it's only the wise thing to do. Go to the king. You already have a working relationship with him, and ask for a security force. So he does that. He says, I was ashamed. And we look in verse number 22. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, here's their declaration, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. That's the statement that they made. So Ezra is now faced with a circumstance that we might likewise be faced with when we are so bold as to boast of our God's ability. And so here he's faced with the prospect of the journey without a security force, but he's already declared that God is able, the hand of our God is upon all them for good. So he was ashamed to ask for help. Verse number 23 says, so we fasted and besought our God for this. And what does it say God's response was? He was entreated. He interceded. He demonstrated a favorable response. And again, there is, as we shall see, the connection to worship in that. And then we look in the seventh chapter of Ezra. Go back a little bit more. And see the pivotal role that the hand of God plays in the activities of the people of God. In verse number 6, Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. So in other words, the king's heart is moved by the hand of God. In this case, favorably to Ezra. Look in the 9th verse. Upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem. And what does it say then? According to the good hand of his God upon him. And then go over there to the 28th verse, same chapter. And it is said there, and of course a commendation for God in verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. The elect cry in the 8th chapter, we saw that, the 23rd verse, the elect cry, besought our God, he was entreated of us. And listen, keep this whole notion of the entreating of God on behalf of his people along this line. When you look at the raw definition and the implications that are behind that, it has to do with the burning of incense, which itself in the Old Testament economy of worship was a sacrifice of fine, fragrant powder that was offered up in its totality to be burnt. And as it was burnt, the fragrance wafted up and God would have a sweet smell of that sacrifice. So draw a straight line from that concept to what you are about to do tonight as you intercede in prayer. The hand of God being upon you as you pray, burn the incense, as you beseech God, he will be entreated of you. The Lord Jesus confirms that over and over and over in the New Testament. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. He will divinely intercede. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and see this. This is something that takes us into the future. And we look at Revelation 5 and verse 8, and we see the same thing. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which we would understand to be the fragrances of the incense offered. And essentially the odors parlays out to the incense. The golden vials full of odors, which are declared there in the 8th verse, the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. And so what do we need do tonight? I make an assumption, and I think I'm not far off the mark on this, that with the small group of people in our prayer meeting tonight that you comprise, along with others that are providentially hindered from being here, who would be if they could be, comprise in our church serious-minded members who are able to take requests before God to beseech Him, to seek His entreaty. And so compelling is the need here. We do, as a group of serious-minded members of Grace Baptist Church, I can't in any way assign casual Christianity to this group. I don't think if it was so, you would be here. I think serious-minded people. So we prayerfully, trustingly appeal to God for a turning of the heart of each of His people from the very slippery slope that leads into the lap of this world. We need to burn the incense along that line. And if the hand of God be upon us, as it is to be upon us for good, who but the Lord Himself knows how effective and how far-reaching the consequences and the effects of such prayers would be. And so I offer that to you for your continued work in prayer, that you would as earnestly and as fervently and continuously as you possibly can muster, bring that constantly to the Lord Jesus in prayer, that there might be gathered here in due time like-minded of your brethren who are just as serious-minded about the work of the ministry here as you are. That's what I would ask for your prayerful consideration. Would you bow with me? Lord, we ask your mercies upon our church family. We pray your rich and fruitful blessings upon those assembled. And we ask, Lord, that as we come to the throne tonight to speak to you, that you would hear our voices and know the motives out of which these words come and find them acceptable. Find each of our meditations verbally expressed acceptable in your sight. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.